This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 20th of November 2009, and joining me once again is my regular guest Bob Chapman, formerly the largest silver and gold stockbroker in the world, and now the author of The International Forecaster, a business, finance, economics, and politics newsletter that can be found at theinternationalforecaster.com. Bob Chapman, thank you for taking the time to talk with me again today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoy your program.
Well, I enjoy having you here, and Mr. Chapman, I want to give you a chance to talk about the last issue of the newsletter and also to talk about whatever issues you feel are most important at the moment, because I know there's so much going on, but right now my head is spinning as a listener has just sent me some information on a breaking news story that's causing a stir in the climate change debate. Apparently, someone has hacked into the servers at the Climate Research Unit in East Anglia University and released thousands of emails that appear to implicate Phil Jones and some others in conspiring to fix the data to fit their man-made global warming idea and to prevent skeptical scientists from being published in the peer review process. And this is just a remarkable story, but perhaps not surprising for my listeners who might remember CRU and Dr. Jones from a video that I made recently. And the gist of the story is that Jones and the CRU are responsible for coming up with the data that supposedly shows a 0.6 degree Celsius warming in the past 130 years. The only problem being that he's been hiding his raw data and how he came to that phony number by saying that there were international agreements preventing him from releasing the raw data. And now these emails are leaked out, and it seems that what we've suspected all along is true, that they've been fudging the data and fixing the facts to fit this climate change hypothesis. So this is an incredible story, and I think we're going to see some big fallout from it in the coming days. I hope we're going to see some big fallout from it if it gets picked up in the controlled corporate media, which is always a gamble. And if there is a big enough reaction, we might see some game-changing things happening in the climate change debate right on the verge of the Copenhagen conference, which is coming up next month. So, Mr. Chapman, I don't believe we've covered the man-made climate change scare before on our chats, but what's your take on this issue, and are you surprised to hear that this data fudging is apparently going on?
Bless the spy. It's wonderful that somebody has ferreted this out. Obviously, they're on the inside. They didn't like what was going on. They wanted to see a truthful debate, and that's why probably it was released. The whole thing has been a scam from the beginning, as you well know. And not only will this affect the meeting in Copenhagen that's coming up, which wants to use this climate control as a measure to redistribute wealth from the richer Western nations to the third world. And it's just a typical communist redistribution of wealth is what it is. And it's also going to affect the outcome on cap and trade legislation. It should blow it into next week. Now, you said that you're concerned about the major media not picking this up and dispersing the information. And you're right. And generally, you would be right. But programs like this and what is going into the internet and some newsletters such as mine are making a tremendous dent in what's going on in major media because people are bypassing it. I mean, why do you think there's so very little advertising revenue going into newspapers and magazines? Because people are sick and tired of being lied to or just seeing the truth omitted. And so we're really banging them around hard. And a good example of that was the overwhelming support of the committee on the Ron Paul Grayson amendment yesterday, which is House Bill 1207, which is about the investigation and auditing of the Fed. And there were some small changes, but essentially the important thing is that the legislation's intact and will probably pass. Now, that couldn't have happened otherwise without the help of, we'll call it the third dimension, that's what you and I are in. And I spent 3 months And I was amazed that ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox allowed me to go on mainline stations, not for a long time, usually 10, 15, 20 minutes, but talking about HR 1207. And at that time, there were 100 co-sponsors. Now there's 309. And it just shows you, if you can work hard enough at it and wheedle your way in, you're going to be able to direct the dialogue, which has been directed by, we'll call it the enemy, for so long. And so I think what they've come up with this climate control being a farce, and the disingenuousness and lying of the players involved who are pro-global warming, not only is it going to stop it, stop Copenhagen, stop cap and trade, but it's going to expose these people for just what they are. They're a bunch of criminals. I mean, there's never been any global warming. I mean, the planet has cycles, and we just got to live through them. And sure, what we do affects the atmosphere and the planet, but not to the extent that these people are trying to make us believe.
Well, you're absolutely right in that assessment, and you're absolutely right that the game really does appear to be changing on some very fundamental levels, and it must be worrying the financial oligarchs at this point, because as you mentioned, even the Ron Paul Grayson 1207 being passed by the House Financial Services Committee yesterday, just an incredible story and incredibly exciting, I think, for anyone who's been following that. But let's go into that in a little bit greater detail. As I understand it, this bill will require written concurrence by the Treasury Secretary prior to the Federal Reserve engaging in a foreign currency swap. And that passed the House Financial Services Committee yesterday. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what that means and the significance of this?
Well, let me give you a recent example. And that is that five major nations and agreed to a currency swap. It was about 6 months ago. And what that is these five countries made money up out of thin air. And the Federal Reserve made money up out of thin air. And the Federal Reserve, privately owned, lent this money to these five countries, which in turn lent the Federal Reserve their currencies on a par basis. Now, that was the beginning. Now, that switch became known. They couldn't hide it because $500 billion is quite a bit of money. If it had been $30 billion or $108 billion, they might have been able to hide it. But $500 billion, no. And why they did that was that the Fed could take the foreign currencies and they could use them in the market by selling them. And they would suppress the value of those five currencies, which are in the USDX, which is the dollar index on a weighted basis. So in doing that, they would be able to keep the dollar from plunging and make it go down on a very slow, managed basis. On the other hand, the deal was, and of course this was not made public, that those five nations would take the $500 billion and they'd trot into the Treasury at the Treasury auctions and they'd buy Treasuries in order to support the debt structure in the United States government. So essentially, the Fed was supplying the money, excuse me, for the foreigners, foreign governments, foreign central banks, to go into the Treasury and support the debt service of the United States, which is complete monetization, and it's very inflationary. Now, this is an example of what they want to know ahead of time. They shouldn't be doing that. The Fed and the Treasury should not be in the market manipulating it. And this brings up another matter. There should be a way of Congress passing a law to nullify some of these congressional orders. We have one called the Working Group in Financial Markets, which was signed by Ronald Reagan with good intentions. It was August of 1988. In 87, on October the 19th, the stock market collapsed. And they didn't want that to happen again. They wanted the Fed and the Treasury and the New York Fed, which is the money end of the Fed, and the SEC and the CFTC be able to coordinate saving the market from, we'll say, going from Dow 10,000 to the Dow 2,000. And that was the intention of it. But like everything else on Wall Street and in government, it became distorted. Now they use it 24/7 in every market in the world, and they're rigging everything. There are no free markets left, and that has to be changed. So after we get the Fed on the run here and get this thing passed, we'll then bring up what the Fed's been doing when the public sees it 6 or 8 or 10 months from now. Then we'll bring in Ron Paul's bill to eliminate the Fed and give their powers back to the Treasury where they were under the Constitution previously. And then hopefully after that, we're going to get rid of this executive order signed by Reagan by having legislation which nullifies it. Government and private corporations should not be able to go into the market and manipulate it. And there's one thing I want to tag on to the end of this, and you were talking about the alternative radio talk shows and the internet having a greater and greater impact all the time. And what we're doing is very, very important. And I'll give you an example of this. It's not to toot my own horn. I was on a program yesterday, and they have some sort of a rating system. I really don't know much about, but at any given time, there might be 50 talk shows on across the nation, and there's some sort of a media company that rates them. And when I was on the air, this is a very little-known program I was on. It's not a major program like Alex Jones, which I'm on every Friday. And they gave the ratings. And number one was Rush Limbaugh, and then it was Hannity, and then it was somebody else, and it was Dr. Laura, and then it was me. So the people come back and said, "Who is this guy?" And the only reason I bring it up is because we're having a tremendous impact, and we should be well aware of it, and we're going to win.
That's absolutely right. We are having an incredible impact. I can speak personally from my own website, which has absolutely exploded in the last few months, and the feedback I'm getting now is just phenomenal. It's just incredible how far my little voice is traveling, and we really are shaping the debate in a way that I think the financial oligarchs, I can't imagine they expected this, and they don't seem to be ready for it, because we really are having an incredible effect. So this is an exciting time.
Especially for me, from Wall Street, they must be saying, "Oh my goodness, you know, we never expected that, and how did this guy survive for 74 years, you know?" But it's true. The impact is there, and what you and I have to do, and others like us, we have to keep balance in what we're doing and make sure we get the story straight and everything is perfectly truthful so that the people will continue to believe in what we're saying.
That's right. With great power comes great responsibility. And of course, the alternative media, it does not necessarily bring truth or only the truth. And people have to use their discernment and wisdom when they're going through the alternative media as well. But it does present the real best opportunity we have for getting the truth out to the masses. And on that note, going back to the dollar issue, the foreign currency swap situation that you just described, I would really like my listeners to cogitate on that for a moment, because it's just incredible what's going on and the way that they're using every scam and scheme in the book to try to prop up the dollar at the moment. And this ties back to something that we were covering recently on the Corbett Report with an exclusive interview with Daniel Estulin, who managed to sneak out some of the documents from the G20 finance ministers meeting in Scotland 2 weeks ago, where they were apparently discussing the idea of dumping the dollar as a world reserve. But according to Estulin and the leaked documents, the idea was nixed by Russia and China, who know that obviously such a move would tank their considerable dollar reserves and end up biting them back. So you seem to gesture toward that in the most recent newsletter when you write, quote, "Governments are amassing record foreign exchange reserves as they direct central banks to buy dollars in an attempt to stem the greenback slide." So, of course, this point, it seems like a game to see how long they can keep it afloat before it disintegrates of its own accord. But, Bob Chapman, your thoughts on the dollar's prospects, both short-term and long-term?
Well, short-term, I think we're going to get down in test 71, 72 on the USDX. USDX is a dollar index, six major currencies versus the dollar on a weighted basis. We have the euro, the pound, the Swiss franc, the Canadian dollar, the Japanese yen, and who did I miss? There's one more, but anyway, there's six of them. And that level was attained about 18 months ago, 71, 72. In the meantime, we went up to 89.5, which was just this last May at the beginning of the month. And fortunately, I told the subscribers to don't be long the dollar and just to switch to the short side. And we're now trading around 75.5. By the end of the year, I expect the test of 71.2. I thought it would come earlier. Actually, I said October or to the end of the year. But, you know, a couple of months is not going to make much difference. And so after the test, I would expect a bounce in the dollar back up again, just from traders, charters, things like that. And it might go up to 76, 78, might even get to 80, but I don't think so. So the 76, 78 area, it would happen very quickly, and I think it would return very quickly to 71, 72, probably February, March, April, in that time frame of next year. And then I think that will be followed by a breakdown to 65, and then 60, and maybe 60 by the end of the year, or maybe as low as 50. And if it doesn't come by the end of the year, it'll come the following year, and it may get to 40. And so the dollar is going down. You know the reasons why. Tremendous debt structure, which is unpayable. The Fed creating money to give to foreigners, central banks, to come in and buy our treasuries. That's why the numbers are so high in foreign participation in the treasury auctions, which we publish all that information. And in fact, anything that you want to know that's important, we have in the International Forecaster every week. Believe me, we don't miss much. And we probably pick up 75% of which you'll never hear or see in the mainline media. And so the Fed is going to have to continue to fund the debt operation of the United States government, and they're making the money up out of thin air. Now, Milton Friedman wrote a book prior to his death, and I think it was published in 2006. I think I put it in this issue that's coming out tomorrow, the International Forecaster, where he describes all this, exactly what's going to happen and is happening 3 years later, well, almost four now. And he was right. And the impact is going to be terrible on Americans. So you say, what are the solution? The solution is very simple for the individual who has wealth, who is an investor. Get into gold and silver-related assets as far as your little feet can take you and as quickly as possible. Because the market's going to go down. Interest rates will eventually go up. In fact, we're at a negative rate on the short-term paper of less than 1 year right now. That's the first time since 1972. I mean, big things are happening out there, and they can't continue, the Fed, to suppress interest rates. It's not going to last indefinitely, which means eventually bonds will go down as well. How precipitously, I don't know, but the stock market's going to get hammered good again. And this time, 6,600 in the Dow is not going to hold. It's going to go through there like it wasn't even there.
That's right. And as always, the price of gold is spilling the beans on the real value of the dollar right now, even with all of the massive manipulation that we know goes on in the gold markets. Gold is reaching absolute record highs, although I suppose not dollar-adjusted record highs. Where is the price of gold right now in terms of historical highs?
Well, in 1980, gold was $850 an ounce. And if we were to take official inflation since 1980, we would have gold at $2,400 an ounce. If you take unofficial inflation using the criteria that was used in 1980, I personally come up with $6,700 an ounce. John Williams, who I'm sure you've had on your show, who's an eminent economist, says $7,150. So he's better than I am at it, so I'll take his figure. And we're usually pretty close on all the things that report on. But that's the real market in gold. And you ask yourself, well, why isn't it selling there? It's because your government has been manipulating it for years. In fact, illegally, they started to manipulate it in 1968. And in fact, 69 was the first time they really went to work on the gold shares. And you got to remember, I've been doing this for 50 years. And then during the 1980s, the late 80s and through the 90s, there is proof from the FOMC meetings, which I quoted in the International Forecaster, where they've got memos where Greenspan and Wayne Angel were saying, well, you know, we can't let gold go up. You know, how do we rig the market? And so this has been going on for a long time. They went into the market, and I was in the Bank of England when this happened. This was October the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of 1987. A friend of mine worked in there, and we were going to go to lunch. And he said, gee, he said, the Americans had just sold enough gold through the IMF, through us, you know, to cover their tracks, to knock the gold price down $100 an ounce. Now, that was illegal, but they did it anyway. And now they have the working through of financial markets, which they've been working through since 1988, and they've been rigging the market. And so that's why the price of gold and silver are not where they should be. It's not a free market, but it will become a free market when we get rid of the Fed.
Bob Chapman, how did Alan Greenspan go from a gold is money Ayn Rand acolyte to the head of the Federal Reserve?
Money and power. His business was on its back. He had one client left. He was a total loser.
Was?
He's a groupie with the Ian Grand group, so to speak. And, of course, you know, he had a PhD, so everybody thought he was smart. You know, he's not stupid, but don't get me wrong. But he did what he had to do to become rich and famous. Now he's ready to die. I wonder how he's going to take it with him.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. All right, well...
I don't cut these people any slack when they do wrong things. And they should be confronted. You know, why did you do this and why did you do that? It's just like... Goldman Sachs. They got this TARP money, made a pile of money on it, took the TARP money and gave it back, paid a fee for doing so. Made billions and billions of dollars. They're paying billions of dollars in bonuses. And so now they want to lend small business who were hurt so badly by this $500 million, and they still want to continue giving out these bonuses, and at the same time they said, well, yes, we did something wrong and we shouldn't have done it. Where was the SEC? Hiding behind the garbage bin someplace? They knew what was going on, but they won't do anything about it because they're part of Wall Street. They're not there to protect the public. And so nothing happened, and they did the same thing with Madoff, which is a CIA Mossad operation. That's why the trial was a closed trial. They didn't want any evidence coming out as to who was really behind the thing. And this is the sort of thing that goes on over and over again. These people in their $3,000 suits at Goldman Sachs should have been brought up on criminal charges, along with the rating system, which was Fitch, Moody's, and S&P, and all those banks that were involved in that conspiracy. And that's exactly what it was, a conspiracy. But yet nobody goes to jail, not even civil charges. It's incredible what's going on.
It is incredible, and one wonders how long they can get away with it. But it does pain me to see these crooks and criminals lauded and revered by their minions and the minions in the controlled corporate media. But it's so heartening to see groups like We Are Change confronting these people and confronting people like Greenspan and Bernanke and exposing them for what they are. So I certainly hope that that trend continues and maybe amplifies as things start to ramp up here. But going back to of course, John Williams and ShadowStats.com, who you brought up earlier. And of course, we had him on recently to talk about unemployment stats and how those are manipulated. And of course, recently we've seen that the unofficial unemployment stats have now gone up to over 17.5% unemployment, just staggering figures. What do you see in the job market coming up in the near future?
itself, either with or without stimulus. Without stimulus, and the stimulus could come in two forms: money from the government, which is the taxpayer, and banks increasing lending. 90% of loans that banks make go to small and intermediate-sized companies. Now, if there's no more stimulus and there's no increased bank lending, then the Fed is going to have to do even more monetizing to keep the undertow of deflation from taking over. And so they will err on the side of putting too much into the system. So we're going to have higher inflation in the coming year without a stimulus or increase in lending. And that would make unemployment probably go up slightly during the course of the year. The real rate that John and I talk about, I say 22.2%, John says 22.1%. Hey, we're in the same ballpark. Where could it go next year? 24 or 25%, the same as it was during the Depression. Now, if they put the stimulus in, then the figure probably would stay around 22.5%, 23%. It all depends on how much, but let's say it's $500 billion from the Congress for stimulus, and let's say that the Fed, the banks increased lending 16.2%. I use that figure because that's what they've used to reduce it year on year. That's how much they've cut back. So if they re-implemented the 16.2% in the form of lending increases, then I would think that that would be equal to about $1 trillion. And so you would have $1.5 trillion of stimulus. And that would keep the unemployment rate relatively stable at around where it is right now, 22 to 23% in round figures. And so that's what I see. There's going to any growth that you see is going to be Mickey Mouse figures, and John Williams would point that out in spades because he's bigger at numbers than I am. And he would explain to you, why it'll just stagnate there. And so what's going to happen after that? The whole thing's going to go down. We're going to have hyperinflation in the meantime. What's hyperinflation? I say it's anything over 14%. We can get 14% easily next year. So the following year, we could be looking at 20 or 30 or 40%. Who knows? And then deflationary depression will finally take over. And when that happens, you really don't want to be around, but it's going to happen, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. And had they purged the system in the first place 2 years ago, we probably would have been starting to move out of depression already. But they didn't want that. They, the Fed, Wall Street, the bankers, the Treasury Department, the revolving door between Wall Street and the Treasury Department, and they made the choice. The people who messed the system up are trying to fix it, and I don't think that's a good idea.
But are they really trying to fix it? I think there are many people out there who believe this is an engineered depression for a very specific purpose, and I think all of the evidence points to the fact that no sane or competent financial engineer would be making the moves that these people are making at the moment, knowing what they know. What's your take on that issue?
Exactly the same as yours, and I've been espousing it for the last several years, and particularly just before this two-year credit crisis that we're still in. This was planned, and I wrote an article about this in 1967 for American Mercury. It was the first major article I ever wrote, and I described how the powers behind government would engineer the imposition of world government, and that would be by taking down the United States in Europe financially and economically so that the inhabitants of those regions and throughout the world would be forced to affect and accept world government. And this is what they're after. And this is why they've done what they've done, and you're right. This just doesn't happen. There's no coincidence. It was planned this way, and you're right. They're not dumb. They did this deliberately.
Absolutely. Well, let's step back for a moment and look at the game plan then, because as you noted, people like yourself and others have been writing about this for literally for decades and predicting exactly what is happening right now. And of course, right at this time, we start seeing moves towards global governance right out in the open, with Ban Ki-moon writing his recent editorial in the New York Times about how they can use the climate tax to fund a new international governmental bodies. And we see the UN framework convention on climate change in Copenhagen next month, and even if it gets defeated this time, of course it's just a strategy that they're going to keep going back to until they get what they want, or until we stop them from getting what they want. So what's your take on sort of the grander strategy and how this is going to be manipulated and brought into place?
Well, I think they're going to continue on the same track. We know historically, and we know from reading what they write and seeing what they say, they can't keep their mouth shut, which is great for us. I mean, you talk about loose lips, loose ships, which is one of the old sayings during the Second World War. They can't restrain themselves because of their arrogance and the fact that they think they're better than we are. We, the masses of the world, the people that they want to euthanize so that they can get rid of 60 to 80% of the people in the world. And so they're going to continue on the same track, but we're going to rip up the track in front of them. And the key is the passing of 1207 and 604, the two bills on the Fed. Once we've done that and the public sees what they're doing and what they have done, the bill to abolish the Fed will pass perhaps a year and a half or so from now. And once we get that, we can have our depression. We can explain to the American people, look, this is what these people did. And they did it deliberately, and this is why they did it. And so you're going to have a depression. There's no other way out of this. We're all going to suffer together, and we're going to make a brave new world, a better world, out of what these people destroyed. And then what we can do is bring criminal charges against these people and put them in jail, and in some instances hang them because of what they've done. I mean, look at this episode we're going through now of gold bars made of tungsten. Now, the United States government did that, and that'll come out later. And, of course, the mainline media won't touch it. But it's a fact. The Chinese got bars of gold that weren't gold. And they said, hey, wait a minute, what is this? And so that's the sort of thing, the criminal enterprise that Wall Street and banking and Washington have become. I mean, the crime is without end. It kind of reminds me of the Yeltsin regime in Russia after the wall came down and it was no longer the Soviet Union, and the Yeltsin family went in there and stole trillions of dollars, and you all know the story of it, but that's what Washington's like today.
Well, it certainly is becoming more and more blatant right now, especially as things are collapsing. It seems like they're just trying to carry everything out, maybe even including the kitchen sink while they can before the whole structure collapses down on all our heads. And it is at this time that we have the maximum chance of exposing these things as they just become more and more blatant. So that's why, obviously, newsletters like the International Forecaster are so crucial for getting the word out on some of these issues. And we see your articles getting covered by major sites over and over again because they are so hard-hitting. So tell people a little bit more about the newsletter and how they can get a copy.
Well, it's about business, finance, economics, politics, social issues, all over the world, and we cover every country, even the small ones, and we let you know what's important that's going on there. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays, about 40 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out for those who are not on the internet, and we've been publishing now over 20 years. I spent 28 years as a stockbroker and owner of a brokerage firm before that, and so I've had the luxury of having a second vocation in my lifetime, and quite frankly, I love this one more than I like the first one. And so you can get a free copy by just going to the site, theinternationalforecaster.com. That's theinternationalforecaster.com, or you can call 800-375-4188. That's toll free, 800-375-4188. And you get a free copy, and it's a current copy. You know, if you send in tomorrow, let's say, you'll get tomorrow's copy.
All right, excellent. Well, I hope people do that because, of course, they can't afford to miss a single day with the events moving so quickly. But it is a good chance to have a great conversation with you about some positive things that we see developing, including 1207. So that's always good. Well, Bob Chapman, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me again today. And thank you for all that you're doing over at the International Forecaster.
Well, thank you for giving me another voice. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the people who are listening.